Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to another edition of PZ85 Plays. I am your Game Master Double H, and a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, the Dawn of Defiance campaign from the Star Wars Saga Edition continued here on the show as we continue Episode 6, The Core of Corruption. Our second installment begins in just moments, but before we do that, let's introduce our cast as always, beginning with the creator and co-owner of Podzilla 1985. Playing Harani Tar is Shannon Young.
This one time I was on the Millennium Falcon, and then there was this guy that said, "Come to the back of the Millennium Falcon." That's me. Bye.
We also have our new resident Jedi, quote unquote. It's Kruskog Zubane, played by our old friend Cody Sandusky.
The Emperor for the poison for the Emperor.
Somehow he returned.
Somehow Palpatine returned, and so did our Both and spy Iris Nay, played by Lindsay Wolfgang.
Is it bad I'm lost already?
Yes.
Yeah.
And at the bottom of the screen, vibe catting his way through life, it's the man himself, Tanner Calvert, playing our old resident Jedi. Old? That's not the other one anyway. It's Sigurd Talon.
Oh, hi. I just got called old. I don't know how I feel about that.
You can't vibe your way through all your problems, Tanner.
I'm not used to being not the youngest one on the show right now. Damn it, Cody.
Well, the other thing is, I mean, you know, Craig was the old one, and then you were the new one, and then Cody came along. See, you used to be what the Jedi would call with it, but then they changed what it was, and now what's it seems new and scary. It'll happen see, you to went you.
That way. I was going to go the way of I'm the new hotness. He's the old and busted.
That's what I was about to say. Tanner's old and busted. Absolutely.
That's fair.
I'm the new hotness.
Well, then I guess that would make Sigurd old, busted hotness. Right? He's right in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Busted hotness.
Stop getting out of here, Tanner.
He's extra.
Last week, as a very brief recap, we began episode 6 again, called The Core of Corruption, where our group has made their way to the heart of the Empire on Coruscant, right before the beginning of the Age of Rebellion, as it has all begun to kick off. So this is really Imperial Center. They are seeking out the origins and the data that they can on the Sarlacc project. They know that it must have originated here, and this seems to be the final step toward getting what exactly it is that they need. But of course, they can't do that without a little help, which is where they came into contact with Kruskog, who is one of Organa's old agents, who has been he's made Coruscant his stomping ground some time ago. And so, as the groups connected and they settled into the planet, they decided to pursue one of three major leads. And if I remember correctly, the goal was to go after the Celestin Resh. If I remember correctly, yes.
Sure. Yeah. I think we were also going to attempt to locate where the protocol droid was, but we kind of agreed that Resh was probably going to be our best target.
He was priority, if I recall correctly. So, yes. Good. Okay, then that's where we're going to pick up. Do you guys have any questions before we get started?
Negative.
Is it too late to become Kuzco Zubane?
No, that's a nickname. We can make that happen. And I don't. People forget that Groz's real name is Groznik.
Yeah,
we just settled on Groz because it was easier.
It's like Chewie, Chewbacca. I mean,
yeah.
I kept saying, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I had Muppets on the brain. That's why I got like Kuzbane because the Kuzbanians from Kermit's old alien reporting.
Okay. That was great. That was
great.
No one knows what I'm talking about, and that's fine. I'm used to this.
No, I'm sorry. For the record, before we start, Kruskog has 5 Force points and 3 Destiny. Sigurd, I've got you at 5 Force, 1 Destiny. Iris has 4 Force points and a Destiny point, and so does Hirani, 4 and 1. So yes. What a guy. I don't think Groz has used it. He has 4. He used 1, so he is at 4 right now. Okay. then with that, we are going to go ahead and pick up where we left off. So last week, as we came to a close, you all had exited basically like a little coffee shop type slash pub type place, the Crate Dragon, if I remember correctly. And I'm saying that a lot tonight, and I don't like it. But anyway, I don't often remember correctly, which is why. You guys had exited there, and the plan, as Kruskog had laid out three potential targets for you, was ultimately to target the Celestin Resh to begin with, just as a brief reminder of the scenario surrounding him. According to Kruskog, the Celestin by the name of Resh is a former associate of Darga the Hutt who was tied into his material delivery services, and locating him might be able to lead you in the right direction of the Sarlacc project. In the time that these discussions have been taking place, Iris has done a little information gathering, scouted a couple of things left and right, spoken to a couple of people, did a little searching, and came up with some information that I believe she has for you in regards to that.
Yeah. Long and short of it, he is more likely than not down in the lower areas, known as the Works. So we've got a nice, nasty little labyrinth to go hunt through, probably. But we might not be the only ones hunting for him, because he's got a 10,000 credit bounty on his head from the Imperials.
Sounds like we might need that, pursue those credits ourselves.
Sigurd needs the money of broke ass.
It's
no words.
I have no use of material things like money. I have a little bit to get me by for things that I need to continue the mission, but that's all I need.
I wish you had more of a materialistic need so you could do something about that jacket.
I'm trying to avoid answering as Cody and not as Kruskog.
I thought for sure you were going to hit him with the looking like a broke ass sexual chocolate.
I was gonna ask what I could say about his Jedi robes that hasn't already been said about Alderaan. It looks bombed out and depleted.
Oh, that hasn't happened yet.
Oh, damn.
You're
it.
Breaking the timeline.
Sorry. Harani's from the future. I never told you guys this.
Bombed out
time
and depleted.
Time travel.
Gosh. Anyway, so with the plan being, if the plan is indeed to make your way toward the Works and to attempt to get in touch with Resh or take him in, depending on what you decide to do, the key thing at this point is going to be transportation. Getting around Coruscant is not as easy as it is Cloud City is a tiny little area by comparison, decidedly. Coruscant is effectively a city planet. So getting around is not as easy as just wandering around. There is, public mass transit. It's the most economical, but the slowest option. We're talking about things like speeder buses, trains, that sort of thing. You can get a weekly pass for it if you'd like. But really, your fastest option, and Kruskog would know and probably suggest this, would be to either buy or rent your own speeder. Now, the biggest issue with that, of course, would be getting a Class 3 restricted transponder. Kruskog, you would know this is the sort of thing that will allow you, and actually, I guess most of you in some form or fashion, having been to or lived on Coruscant for a significant period of time, would know that that's what would let you legally roam free of the Skylanes, and basically the military, anything but the military and restricted areas of the planet. Getting one, however, is not quite as easy as it might seem, because it's the sort of thing that's going to require a lot of registration and a lot of paperwork, and you're not going to get it in a day unless you manage to get it underground. So rustling up some contacts, speaking with some people who might be able to get those sorts of things for you, probably your best bet if you want to approach one of those. Of course, you could always just rent or buy your own speeder and then use the standard approved Skylanes, a little faster than mass transit, but still the most expeditious option. The choice is yours, though.
Kruskog is going to look over to Harani, who I assume between he and Graz, and they've kind of confirmed that those are the two pilots of the craft. Does a speeder fit on your way out of here?
Harani is going to direct the question to Shannon to ask Hunter, because I actually don't know.
Is there a speeder on the ship?
No, no, more to the point, Kruskog is going to look at you and say, because if you can't take it with you, I'd recommend not buying it, because a swift exit may be our way out of here, and it seems like a lot of extra weight to tote around.
Graz leans in to whisper something to Hirani, but in doing so, he's still very loud, so it just comes out as like... your ear is very wet now, for the record, from doing that. But effectively, he appears to be trying to tell you that the cargo space is not exactly open. So it would probably be in your best interest to rent.
I'm all for that.
Okay. Then I suggest that's the way we go about that, but obtaining our transponder of choice may be a little bit more difficult. It's not done in a day. I may be able to find the means to at least know where to get one under less standard methods.
Less standard methods has kind of become our motto.
Well,
now wait a minute. Your standards.
Be that as it may, fellow Jedi, I've been on this planet for a little while. I've gained some contacts. I've found some sources. There's a possibly reliable contact I have in all of this. His name is Yoda Roe. Late teens. What's the parlance you would use on other planets? Street rat. Very confident, fast talking. He's got a lot of knowledge. He knows the underground here on Coruscant. Actually has a speeder bike. Maybe something that could help us obtain these items in a swift manner. But I'll tell you this. It's not going to be cheap. It'll be good. In the direction he points us, even if he can get it to us himself, it'll be quality. But you better have the credits to pony up for it.
How not cheap are we talking?
It depends. I have had to exhaust a bit of my stores from the our fellow person sponsoring all of this, but I will say that in most cases I've had thus far, the investment has been worth it. The only note I'll make is that I wouldn't leave anything you deem valuable or credits you deem worth keeping loose around this young man.
No.
Okay, sounds like... Well,
my pink friend, it sounds like you're up.
Well, I always am when it comes to money, isn't it? That's fine. Fine. You have to be good for something.
For the record, speeder rental for like an average speeder is going to run you approximately 150 credits a day. With insurance, that's 200 a day. If you want more of a luxury vehicle, then it's going to run you about 400 credits a day. With insurance, it goes up to 5.
Insurance is a racket. We will not pay.
I believe him.
I don't know. I get pretty chaotic.
Friends, I don't plan on being on this planet long enough to pay any insurance means.
Well, I'm saying, like, if we don't buy the insurance, maybe it looks suspicious.
Maybe
you're on Coruscant. I assure you, everything's suspicious.
Maybe Harani Tar, the famous Harani Tar, can do a little bit of space Instagram influencing for them, and they can give us the insurance for free.
Hashtag space ad.
Space ad. Graz and I make a hell of an influencer team, believe me.
He's like waving his arms going, no.
We stay at so many free hotels.
No.
I need assistance.
Well, let's go rent this speedo. Let's get this show on the road. I got places to be and people to kill. She looks at Graz. Yeah. Did that sound threatening? Was that tough?
Kruskog's gonna hear you and say no, but valiant effort.
He slowly presses. Maybe. Maybe.
That's a good one. I remember that one.
It's not. He had that last week.
I don't remember. I'm sorry. I was too busy with take me to someone with authority, and I will help.
How much?
I am hungry.
I am hungry.
Oh, I'm not taking over the show again. We're not doing this. Within
that was worth it, though, man.
Within it doesn't take long for you to find a rental place. It's kind of like a Hertz. They're going to be all over the place. They've got pretty much whatever you want, top of the line, all the way down to economy. What do you want to pay? That's what it comes down to.
Energy cell conservancy is important. I would like the Ford Escort of speeders, please.
Hermione's going to hand her Universe Express card to Kruskog and say, just whatever we need, I trust you. Just do it.
You're looking at Zabrak in probably likely a little tattered robes. Are you sure you want to trust the guy who seems very minimalistic?
Go with it.
I grew up, my mother was a slave on for a hut, so, you know, I find that the ragged make the best people.
If it's up to Kruskog, he's going to rent one of the lower level ones. But he will split the cost with Harani since he has some credits to his name from Organa.
Harani shakes her head no and says, don't worry, I'm rich. It's my superpower.
Ultimately, it's... Sorry, go ahead. I don't want to.
I was just going to say, our proprietor funds some of these activities. It may be in your best interest to conserve what you have.
She checks her bank account and laughs. Okay, that's fine.
So ultimately, it sounds like you guys are going to settle on something like a Sora Sub X68 Land Speeder. This is the upgraded seating model from the standard. It's again, it's the escort of it's a 4-door escort instead of 2-door, basically.
Sweet.
Of Land Speeders. So it's got just enough room for everybody to get, if not entirely comfortable, you know, inside the vehicle is really where you're going for at this point.
But the grass and I are awful tall.
Yeah, speeder, we'll put you on the outside. Yeah, we put you two on the outside of the back seats, and then Narita like squeezes in the middle. That's the way that works.
She's tiny.
Like zombies all over again.
So it's like a PT Cruiser.
She just like lays across their laps.
There it is. That's what I was going to say too.
On her
high school driving all over again.
She's on her space phone checking her space book for what her friends are doing.
Groz is desperately trying to keep her gum out of his fur. Like,
well, you know, the only way to get gum out of fur is to chew it out.
No, it's peanut butter and ice. You got to put all of it.
I was hoping you would get that reference. Also,
and the mayonnaise. And then the
Michaela, really quick, conspiracy theory. What if Jabba the Hutt owns Pizza Hut? I guess you've never seen Spaceballs.
Spaceballs. Pizza the Hutt.
Before pizza sends out for you. Anyway. if you're wanting this thing insured, it's going to run you a total of $300 a day. If not, it's $250.
I heard insurance is a scam perpetrated by the liberal imperial government, so no.
The very kind and overly like bubbly woman behind the counter titters and then kind of like it devolves into as you wish. And she types in the information.
I immediately regret my decisions.
Bob Dole,
you guys get the insurance.
Bob Dole didn't like this.
All right, so it'll run you 250 credits a day, so we'll keep you up on that.
Space Hertz will remember this.
We'll get that in the hotel as well. So hotel
and oh yeah
speeder too. You're paying for both of those right now. Okay. All right, so you got yourself a speeder. It's all selled up. It's Hunter, all charged up and ready to go.
Hunter, can I attempt to hack in to give us the free insurance?
Sure.
Oh no.
You feel free to do that. Now where are you doing this? How are you doing this?
Right in front of her. Just pull out the data like pad immediately.
Like from your data pad?
Yeah, just right there.
So
I'm kidding.
No, I'm just putting it out there just so you know. hacking in like that is not, Star Wars doesn't have a lot of wireless tech. So you're going to have to physically jack into something.
That's what I was about to say. She's just sitting there tittering and he just jacks a cable into the terminal. Or like
hijack their, you know, you could get on a public terminal and try to get into there. It's like a wired system. But using like a data pad to do that is not, it's not like pulling up an iPad and just going to town.
I'm picturing it though. It's like, oh yeah, that's really great. It just, you know, you don't want
to. If Billy
grins and just grabs her by the wrist and just moves it away.
If Billy Wolfert were in this party, we could have done it. Uncle Daddy can do anything.
Well, of course he could.
He's Uncle Daddy.
You wouldn't have even had to win that freaking card game to get all that money. He would have had it for you a long time ago. He has his own planet where it's lined up in sacks on the ground.
Just and Star
he
Wars sits credits. There
in a white suit, drinking lemonade, just waiting on you to show up.
Got a bunch bunch of Ugnaughts or whatever they are out there tilling the fields.
Well, I'm sorry that you called a clown to fix the John when you should have called Uncle Daddy and gotten all the money.
By the way, guys, tonight's episode of Star Wars Dawn of Defiance is brought to you by Uncle Daddy for all of your Animal Crossing needs. If you need bells, items, villagers, seek out Uncle Daddy, and if you have enough money, he might be able to help you.
Why did it end like an A-Team commercial?
He is the A-Team.
If you have any and the money to hire him, you... Anyway. What is this, Nerds for Hire? Anyway, let's see. So you have your speeder. What do you want to do? Where do you want to go?
Can I hack the speeder itself to give me free insurance?
No.
Just curious.
No.
This is your DM talking.
This is your conscience. Oh.
He doesn't have one of those anymore.
It's 50 credits a day. This is like we can this pay is it. Like when Wendy's had what it was like dollar chicken nuggets, and then somebody was like, how many retweets I got to get some free chicken nuggets, and they're like, they're a dollar, and he's like, yeah, no, but people broke out here, and they're like, that's why we made them a dollar.
So outside of the building, the group is discussing this, and you just see the receptionist in there typing away. You see Harani just walk back in and say, I would like to purchase the insurance.
She's actually still laughing, and she goes, yes, I knew you'd return.
Bastard.
We'll get pulled over, and like something will happen that we need the insurance.
Brother Speeder, I knew you'd come.
Look,
all I can hear is the It's Always Sunny theme and the black title, The Gang Commits Insurance Fraud.
Hunter and Tanner both know my relationship with vehicles. There's a good chance
we all do.
Harani's gonna shoot this thing when she's done with it, so
Shannon, why are you driving that
everybody
way? What if the X-Ville's the other direction? No,
I got a good feeling about this one.
And it's exactly in the opposite direction.
Turns around, hits every tree, gets out at the X-Ville, and just blows the truck up before anybody can get out of it completely.
Tempest. Oh. It's a Templar.
Yeah, get on the Tempest, yeah.
Get the Templar.
All right. Okay. Your speeder is now 300. But it is
insured. It's insured.
You have the fucking minivan of speeders. That's what you got.
There I feel you like you're go. Really generous calling it a minivan at this point. It feels like a Subaru with a third row. It technically has it, but nobody's comfortable.
Sure.
Cruise Cog is just going to look and say, if we're looking to find some method of transponder, I believe that young man Roe may be the best person to reach out to in all this.
You have a comlink contact for him, so you're welcome to do that at any juncture that you like.
Are there any other methods we would like to take beforehand?
Yes, I would like to take I'm going to go grab a bottle of water method real quick. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Even killed the camera.
He didn't want to show his white legs.
Probably he's wearing shorts.
I mean, that's what I'm doing. Hell, I'm in a Hawaiian shirt. Obviously, I'm all about class. I would, in fact, invoke my comlink of Itoa Ro.
Okay. He doesn't pick up immediately. You have played this dance before. He's expecting you to leave a message, and then he'll contact you back.
It's like a mediocre drug dealer from college. Itoa Ro, this is Kruskog Zubane. We have spoken in previous encounters about coming to you with any items that I may need under less than legal means. At this time, I have a party by which we would wish to travel this planet and the city without hesitancy. We are in need of a level 3 transponder. Credits are involved and available if you do assist in such an expected and expedient manner. I look forward to your return.
Yeah.
Once your message is left, within about not long, 30 seconds to a minute, it's almost immediate. Like, he's very clearly screening his calls. You get a text back that is a clear set of navigation directions that takes you, you would know at this point in time, to a place called the Galaxy 4 Coolant Refinery. It has been abandoned for decades, and so it's pretty well known as a sort of, it's the public park that nobody actually uses as a park anymore, where people go to hang out.
I know those.
Yeah. So he directs you to a landing platform there, and says to meet him in the next 30 minutes.
I have received word from Roe. I have a location. I will give whomever is piloting the coordinates to take us there. I will warn that it is a area of ill repute, although I'm sure you're not surprised with the way this planet is currently functioning that most places fit that name.
It's true.
It used to be so nice here.
Who's going to pilot, for the record?
Graz.
Someone who has piloting.
How about the yeah, please?
Okay. Well, he has a plus 13 to it, so if you... excuse me. Kruskog, if you will punch in that nav info, he will... Graz will take the pilot stick and settle in. He leans back and... Hirani, you would know, having been around him long enough at this point, that means buckle your seatbelt.
And I recommend it, too. Dude's got a lead foot. Last time he right. drove Matter one of these fact, speeders, we had to get out and push it.
I'm going to go ahead and buckle up, because I don't want to fly out of the speeder.
As does Kruskog.
He was driving Kruskog, like
a... You barely have time to get yours connected before he immediately shoots out of there. Oh!
No!
Oh, God!
No!
Glad you bought that insurance. A one.
Well, we didn't even get out of the parking lot!
Here's the good news. It's a skill check, so there is no crit fail. And your boy got a whole bunch of force points, and remember, you get to roll the two and take the better of the two, so we're gonna do... Plus, he has a plus 13 to pilot, so...
Okay.
That one's not very good. That one's also not very good!
So I'm out, guys. Something just came up. I've got a fire call. There's a cat, a tree.
No, no. Oh my God. Oh my God. How did you roll three ones in a row? I got to go. I have to go pray.
I don't know.
I have to go pray.
All right. Here's the best part. I'm just going to, Cody, tell him what I'm going to do. What does it do when I do want to reveal things? As a DM, there you go. You're going to pull back the curtain a little bit. The DC was 15. Your boy has.
15
plus 13. He rolled a 1 and he added a 1, so we're good.
Yeah, but still, that's not a good indication about the night.
No, you get him out of way down. I will say, when I did my practice rolls, it was like doubling up on numbers. Like, I'd roll the same number twice, and then I'd go to something else, and then I'd roll the same number twice.
It happens. Basically, what this translates to is traffic is awful. Graz is piloting a speeder that he has never been behind the stick of. You know what it is, even getting behind the wheel of a car that is could be the same make and model. If it's not yours, it takes some getting used to.
Seat's not adjusted right. Yeah, everything's
right. And there's no good adjusting for a freaking Wookiee. There's just no way of going about this. So he's
especially in this vehicle.
It's a bumpy ride. Nobody gets hurt or anything, but you might be if you're prone to motion sickness, by the time we show up, you may want to upchuck in the parking lot real quick. That's really what it comes down to. And it takes approximately 2 hours, probably something that should have taken closer to an hour. But between the traffic and the jumpiness and it's just not a pleasant ride, but you do manage to arrive where you want to be.
Will I have been able to communicate to Ro during this that we would be delayed?
Yes. Yeah. As a matter of fact, you end up playing phone tag quite a bit. When you arrive, the concern, however, is first of all, it's about 2 o'clock in the afternoon at this point. You see what large, rusty landing platform in a pretty dark area. Not, you're not in the underground of the city at this point, but you are on sort of the lower levels. You're starting to see more and more alien life, less humans around, fewer humans around. As you pull the speeder in, or as Graz pulls the speeder in, he slows down, sort of looking to see what's ongoing. And even Graz, you can see, reaches down and places, for one hand is on the stick, the other is now on his blaster. There's nobody around. There doesn't seem to be anybody in the immediate area.
Well, I would be prepared, as most things on this planet do require a bit of caution at this juncture, so don't draw weaponry, but be prepared to do so if necessary.
Harani's standing there with both blasters up and just goes, oh, okay.
Of course. Yeah, don't, not yet.
Slides them back in.
I'm out. She whipped him out.
I like to imagine me this time. As we're all sitting there and you say, you know, don't pull your weapons out until it's necessary, you just hear and everything lights up around us, and then
Kruskog turns around and literally all of us are all holding weapons and we're all like slowly putting them away. Oh yeah, no, that's,
yeah, that's good a call.
Graz reaches up and yes. Yes.
How much?
I can see subtlety is not the approach for this crew.
You're not on HoloNet, are you?
As it occurs to you to pull up your comlink to check again if you've gotten any messages, you hear the distinct whine of a speeder bike. It's not like a clear cut, oh, this is a well-maintained bike. This bad boy has been through some stuff. And once you get a good look at it, you can tell it definitely has been. It is cobbled together, but it moves quicker probably than any speeder bike you've ever seen, frankly. It is deceptively fast for its general appearances. It zips up alongside the speeder and pulls to a stop almost instantly. Seated on it is a young man pretty similar to the description that Kruskog gave him. He looks pretty much like this. I'm going to drop a little image for you in the text. You can take a look there. Shannon, do I need to put somewhere else so you can see it better?
No, I'm okay. I can look at it.
Yeah. Okay. No, this speeder bike sounds very much like my brother's 85 Fiero he got out of a field. Was it legally a vehicle? Technically. Did it run well? Also, yes.
That's a great description. Yes, that's exactly how I would assume it to be like. Yeah.
Can we not talk about Fieros? Because I just got a song stuck in my head.
Okay. Anywho, this guy is pretty clearly who was described to you. This is Itoa Ro. And as he zips up, takes one hand and kind of slicks back his hair, he looks over at Kruskog and says, hey, you've got yourself a crew. Good for you. What do you want?
Wait, I know this guy. This is the guy from Pizza Beach. I know him.
Now that's a Star Wars.
That's Spocko.
Yeah, that's me, Spocko.
Can't fool me.
Why is Tanner the main screen now? What's happening?
Oh, he's okay. I met your mother. I got it. I'll look at Ro and say, jokes as you may, yes, I have come into contact with a particular group of individuals. We are in need of a level 3 transponder. We have a speeder. We wish to navigate this planet without issue. And as you well know, paperwork is delayed at least far more than days we have left to do this mission. So if you happen to have any sources by which to obtain one...
The whole time that you're talking, he's reaching into a pocket on his, like, he's got kind of a beat up flight suit that you're seeing him kind of wear there, is like a jacket and pants and stuff. And he's reaching into a pocket on the inside of one. In the moment, Graz reaches for his blaster and the two of them kind of look at each other before he puts his other hand up defensively and then pulls out what looks like almost like a larger version of a spark plug. And says, oh, you mean one of these? Yeah, I got you, transponder.
Yeah, that's the delivery expediency I've come to expect. How much do you wish to bargain for in this exchange?
Wait, sorry, this is really driving me crazy. Why is... Okay, I guess I clicked away from grid view. Tanner's was the only screen I was seeing, and I could not figure out why.
We all did.
Everyone else is off to the side, and I'm like, what's going on? Itoa says, you know how it is. Like you said yourself, the tough to get is kind of expensive. It's a... putting me out, I could let it go for 10,000 credits.
I immediately flutter my eyes and look at him as I'm like shocked a little bit and think, ah, yes, the hard bargain begins anew. I forget with you that relationships don't last long just as far as the credits go.
This is when I wish I was training something that I can go, you'll take 1,000.
I would like to try.
You fail immediately because of that.
I would like to try.
Can we have it for cheaper, Uwu? Doctor, he's bleeding out.
Bleeding. Can we please have it for cheaper?
Shut up. I would like to.
he hits you with that coach from SNL. Hey, shut up. Shut the hell up.
I got this money for you.
For you.
I would like to try to persuade him to lower the price for a group of well-intentioned do-gooders who have a Wookiee that could rip his arms off immediately.
Ooh. Is that persuade?
That's two different talents. Do you want to persuade or do you want to intimidate?
All right,
intimidate and persuasion are two different things.
So I feel like an idiot because I don't see intimidate on my list. I was looking for that. Like I don't
is
even
it
have.
Not? There's Surely no, it is. Oh there's... no, it's a deception. Sorry, I'm thinking of D&D.
Oh okay.
Persuade or deception is how you get intimidate. If I remember.
Well, no.
Hang on. I'm doing that wrong. I forget that D&D splits these.
Whilst he's looking that up, Kruskog in character is going to look at you and say, for the safety of the relationship and for the safety of the mission, I prefer you not threaten bodily harm upon the
No, persuasion man. Persuasion isn't intimidate. There's multiple ones. Persuasion has several different applications, and it's change attitude, which is like the personable one. And then there's intimidate, where you don't intend on making this person your friend. You just want them to act on something. But then there's also haggle, if you're trying to change prices. You can haggle.
Okay, let's do that. Let's haggle. And I'll remove the Wookiee ripping arms part for now.
So the way that it works, I can tell you, I'll just peel back the curtain on this, too. He starts as indifferent, effectively. So your DC is 25. It's a full round action, which is irrelevant here. Right. The standard is that you are attempting to reduce the sell price of the item by 50%.
Yes. Okay. Let's do it.
So it's a DC 25.
Okay.
Hey, that'll do it.
38.
Yeah.
19. All right. Plus 19.
So first of all, he's taken with you. I mean, there's no discounting that.
Have you seen Harani Tar? Absolutely. Absolutely.
In fact, he has. And within a minute, like he keeps saying, like, you look awfully familiar. He keeps suggesting that he thinks he knows, and then he figures it out, and he goes full on, like, it's the 50s jock bully who suddenly realizes that, like, it's actually someone he really likes, and he's like hat in hand, like, oh, Miss Tall, it's been so long. Where have you been? You know,
I need to hear Hunter
very embarrassed
one more time, and he just say, oh, Miss Tall, because that might be my favorite thing.
Oh, Miss Tall,
Miss Tall.
So anyway, he was looking for 10,000. He says, you know, I can't let my reputation go to shame around here. For you, 5,000 credits is a bargain, is a steal. It'll beef up my reputation to have helped someone of your repute around this place. Of course, assuming I can tell people that you were here.
Oh, of course, I would be insulted if you didn't.
So he'll let it go for 5,000.
Deal. And I thank you, sir. She winks at him.
He blushes big time as he, you know, accepts his credits and is swapping them data chip to data chip. Kruskog, he looks Itoa looks over at you, and by the way, he never turns the bike off. The bike runs the entire time. Like, that whine of that engine is right there. You would know specifically he is ready to bail at any second. if something goes wrong or if he gets like a call that he's needed elsewhere. It's you're very rarely around this guy with the engine off at any point in time. But Kruzcock, he does look over to you, and he says specifically, also here, you might be in the market for some information. I'm just saying.
You know darn well I'm always in the market for information. What have you got?
Well, I may or may not know of a certain Sulliston who may or may not be looking to be hidden away from the Empire, who may or may not have a bounty on his head, you know.
Roe, cut to the chase. How much?
Well, he looks over at Arani again and he says, since I've already taken you for so much, I could let it all go for, let's say, 2,500. But that's my final offer. Anything less than that, I'm doing myself a disservice. Over here.
Bro, you always do yourself a disservice.
What's he wearing? What's he wearing? It's a flight suit?
Baggy. Yeah, he's got like a battered, not battered, but like a faded flight suit. I mean, he would tell you that it's from years and years of combat and you know, making his name on the streets. Realistically, he probably got it at a pawn shop.
She's gonna play sweet for him because he's got a charm to it. So she's gonna hand over the credits, but say only if you promise to buy some better clothes. Because your clothes do not fit such a handsome and charming young man.
Hey, I do what I can over here. He's popping the collars of it. So for an additional $2,500, he will let you know that Resh is indeed hiding out in the works in the labyrinth. In fact, he knows the exact warehouse where he's hiding out. Rumor is that he's using an armored room that was built into this place back when it was a warehouse that would store Tabana gas. They had, you know, basically a safe room where they would process everything, because that way if something went wrong, the people inside would still be safe. Because that kind of place blows up in a moment's notice. But this is one of the few that survived many, many years and yet has fallen into disrepair and disuse, and nobody uses it anymore. So he can give you the exact location of the warehouse of where Resh is hiding. He has been seen there. It's again, his information is good. He knows that he's there, or at least has been there recently. As a little something extra just for Hirani, he'll also mention that not only is there a 10,000 credit Imperial bounty on Resh's head, but there's bounty hunters already looking for him, and he knows this to be the case. Some Deveronians were seen poking around the place recently. So if you're heading that way, you may want to go strapped.
Remind me the next time.
Confirmed what we were already guessing.
Yeah. Because I know he's going to dart quickly. I'll look at the boy and say, Roe, next time I'll be sure to bat my eyes for you. Cause clearly that's what does the job.
Not from you, Zabrak. I'm out. He looks at Hirani and gives her a salute and takes off and zips away.
He also told Hirani, he said, you know, Hirani, I'm a smuggler, but I'm also very honest. I want to take a big bite out of that big, juicy...
Liku.
Now that's the Star Wars.
Oh.
I'll say the boy's never been that possessed with me, but then again, I don't have certain assets that seem to... tickle is fancy, so
she looks up at Graz.
Appreciate it, Tar.
She looks up at Graz and says, he needs my money.
There's not an I don't believe you button, but he just presses maybe. Maybe. All right. Yeah. So he has as before, you know, Roe gave you some directions to meet him there at the abandoned refinery. He has now set you up with a second set of nav charts. Basically, these would take you not just into the works, into the labyrinth, but also theoretically directly to the warehouse where Resh is hiding.
Good.
Okay.
Let's do it.
So Graz is going to make himself a little pilot check just to get this ball rolling.
Oh,
I'm sure it's going to be fine.
Oh, Graz.
I'm sure it's...
Hey.
That's much better.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a 31. So
I'm worried about these mid-max dice.
Twi'lek. That's what I get, man.
Ones or 20s.
I'm a Twi'lek.
You couldn't remember that?
I couldn't. I was trying to do the joke. I'm going to take a big...
Uh-huh.
I want to take a bite out of your big juicy, and I couldn't think of the word Chwilik.
God. That's why I said Liku.
I thought Hunter the bit. Was just covering it.
He saved the bit. I appreciate that.
That's all.
Jesus.
So Graz sets off again, and you travel a good 30, 45 minutes deeper and deeper into the depths of the city until effectively you reach an area that is several miles square, pretty much, you know, if you were to go around the perimeter of it. It is a massive tangle of pipes, of machinery. There's like tank farms, some decaying structures, some stuff has been well maintained, some hasn't. You can tell that there are some clouds of like different colored fumes, probably noxious, that are hanging in the area, smoke that encases some areas. The navigation chart still indicates that you've got to go further into this stuff. The deepest levels of this area is where you're going to find the building you're looking for. But from this point forward, it has the potential to get significantly unsafe. Does everyone have a breath mask?
We should still from...
I assume you guys do from your trip to the Nemordians.
Yeah, the last planet. Yeah.
Does Kruzcog?
Yes.
Good. Yes. Yes, have some.
It's part of the utility kit. I don't think it is, but we include
Otherwise, okay. We're going to have to go get back and get it. We're going to need a shitload of dimes.
Somebody's going to have to go back and get some dimes. Oh, okay. So at this point in time, Graz is going to make another pilot to continue the drive that way, but someone is going to need to make a used computer check. Ideally somebody who is sitting up front or can move up front. I will also need someone to make a good perception check. The idea is that between the three of you, you are driving, navigating, and visually looking for this particular warehouse.
You're rolling use computer.
I'm gonna use that computer. Perception. Yeah. Wait, what's that, Tanner?
Who's got the highest perception?
My perception's a 13.
Mine's only got 11.
Nah, I'm an 8, so. My perception's a 7.
I got 10. I'll do computer.
Okay. Sticker, are you gonna perceive?
Yep.
All right, let's go. Graz is gonna make his pilot check. That should be good.
27.
Wait.
Yep.
Wait, what is happening?
You didn't roll yet.
I rolled. I got a 27.
I clicked it.
Yeah, you did. There it is. There we go. Okay, so that's good news. Between the three of you, it doesn't take as long as you'd think, though it is probably longer than you would like, effectively. Sorry, I spit on my own screen there. to weave basically through these different depths of the labyrinth. There are several places of really dense smoke where Graz has to slow down just so he can figure out where he's going. In fact, Kruzcog, he would ask you to reach out and just kind of feel along where they're going because there's some tight, narrow areas there. there is a malfunctioning power coupling that Graz manages to just get underneath as an electrical charge kind of arcs from it from one section to another. But ultimately while it is a daring move, it is relatively safe. No one is injured and the speeder is in good shape. At this point in time, I will need one more check from the three of you. Basically you are trying to descend into the lower element of the labyrinth, like right down to where the warehouse itself would be.
26.
Graz has a 24. No, 13 and 11. Yeah, 24. Oh, Hirani, was that first roll of yours? Yeah, 26.
Yeah, 26.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sigurd, at this point, it is much more difficult for you to see. Just visually, again, the fumes are really just kind of rising up, and the smoke has created this really hazy fog that, with an extreme lack of daylight or man-made light, you're kind of just cutting through a foggy night with headlights to the best of your ability.
I'm going to go ahead and use a force point.
Okay. Sigurd, there you are. So I'll put you at 4.
So it's a 6.
Sixes, yeah.
Yeah, so that'll put you at 21. That's enough that eventually you're able to, you actually kind of use the force a little bit, not to necessarily part the fog, but to just kind of give you a truer sight. And you're able to help navigate the remainder of the hazards that you may have run into otherwise. It's what is toxic atmosphere that you guys are negating with breath masks is still making it very, very difficult to see, but you managed to make it through massive pipes, lots of other structures you have to navigate through, and you're able to do so after a fairly significant amount of time. Ultimately, you come out the other side of this and find yourself almost directly in front of what looks like almost like a bunker, pretty much in the depths of the labyrinth. You would estimate without looking that it's probably mid to late afternoon at this point, 4 to 5 o'clock, somewhere in there. There is, this place kind of sits separate from a lot of other things, so it clearly has to be the place that was being described. It is ancient. Ancient. There is like a lake of kind of an oil like a black substance surrounding the structure itself. There is very clearly a landing platform on the roof of the warehouse. It looks like it's probably the primary way of entry. Lots of other sections of the exterior of it are pitted. They're starting to crumble in. Other structures in the area, though they're not that close, again, are surrounded by this substance that looks like it's leaking from some storage tanks nearby. These things are the size of good-sized buildings. The air here, surprisingly, relatively clear compared to the tight-knit areas you just came through. But again, on top of the warehouse, there's a big landing platform, some cargo lifts. If someone would make me a perception check real quick, please, other than Sigurd. Anybody else?
I'll do it.
Okay.
Come on, no whammy.
Big bucks.
Hey.
30.
That's big bucks.
That's good stuff. excuse me. My throat is doing something. Iris, as you burst out into this area, and of course you immediately start taking in your surroundings, you note that your airspeeder is not the only one in the immediate vicinity. There is a large airspeeder, probably about the size of yours, it looks like it seats 5 or 6, that recently crash-landed on the platform, or at least you would assume recently, because it is still smoking. It skidded into one of the cargo lifts. From your area, from your location, you can't see anyone moving about in the area. But this thing is wrecked, and again, it looks like a fairly recent wreck.
Well, that's not good.
No, that's good.
looks as though the forewarned bounty hunters may have made their presence known.
Graz brings the speeder in slowly, quietly. There's more than enough room, plenty of room for him to land. And he does so a good distance from the speeder that is smoking. But he brings it down quietly so as not to alert anyone in the immediate area. What would you all like to do?
Blasters out.
Thank Harani for paying for the insurance. Because clearly we have evidence of what could have happened.
Hey, the knight's still young.
That's right.
If this were Call of Duty, she would get out and immediately start shooting it.
And we'd have to walk back to the anomaly. And then Hunter would get there first, and he would get the loose change.
let me just get this loose change.
Kruskog is going to look at everybody, see that everyone probably already has their weapons drawn, and with a curt nod, pull out his quarterstaff.
Okay.
You know,
as soon as I got out of the speeder, my pistols out.
Graz, this reminds me.
Kruskog is going to look at Sigurd immediately and go,
not you.
They're just in my hands and now they're in my sleeves. They're just they're palmed.
He's doing magic tricks over here.
Yeah, friggin' Penn and Teller. Great.
Graz, this reminds me of that one time we did something similar. Do you still have the minutes from that adventure? Can you read those off for us real quick?
As he pulls his crossbow and he starts reading from the side of it where he has hash marks.
Graz!
See, I was expecting you to do the sound and then 01 after it.
801. 802. Anyway. So, what would you like to do? I'll leave it to you guys. you're out of the airspeeder. You are on top of this warehouse. Again, there is a there appears to be two cargo lifts. The other speeder slammed into one of them, and it is damaged beyond use. There also looks like maybe a set of turbo lifts and another cargo lift that are on the opposite end of the platform from you.
Well, I was going to say, Tanner, I'll let you go too. I was going to say, is there anything that shows us any kind of path that they may have traveled, you know, footprints or shoe prints, anything like that, rubble?
Make a perception check.
I will let Lindsay or Tanner do that. I just kind of nudged him and gave him the idea.
Okay. I'll test my luck again, unless you want. You've got the higher bonus.
Well, I had a question too, guys, but I'll let you go first.
Okay. 27.
Okay. There doesn't appear to be any, you know, immediate tracks. It doesn't look like somebody was like bleeding as they left the thing, or they were dragging anything. But in getting closer to the area, close enough to see that anyway, you can tell that something you couldn't see from before. So there's at the other end of the platform, cargo lift, turbo lifts, like elevators beside them. The speeder slammed into one of the cargo lifts and it's completely out. The rest of them do not have power. It's clear that they're not powered up. But what is at surface level that you couldn't see from a distance is what looks like a hatch and like a staircase that would descend downward.
I'm actually going to ask if there's a set of space stairs, because that seems
They're just stairs.
Anything that doesn't make noise is going to be preferable in this situation, or at least as little noise as possible. Lifts are relatively convenient, though, between the power and...
What, are you worried the stairs are going to creak and Space Dad is going to ask why you're getting home so late?
Did you mess with Space Dad's space temperature?
That's a disturbance.
Don't touch a space thermostat.
So my question was, is there anything of significance or importance possibly on the cargo lifts?
On the cargo lifts? No. Yeah. Not as best you can tell anyway. They're both lifted up about 5 or 6 feet. Again, the speeder slammed into one of them and is kind of like not wrapped around it, but it clearly banked into the side of it. There's no boxes or anything sitting on it. If there's anything up there, it would have to be flat as a sheet of paper for you to not see it from where you are.
Okay. All right. So I say let's go down the stairs.
Okay.
I hope somebody with glow rods go down first, because I have nothing to light the way with.
It's not complete darkness at this point. There are what are effectively security lights in the area, and you can see inside this place that there's some kind of lighting, if not, you know, completely illuminated. There's some light coming through the windows. They're grimy and dusty, but somebody's in there more than likely.
I have low light vision.
I mean, ideally, you knew. Okay.
That is something you can use.
It's the DM's call. Anytime this darkness is described. Oh, by the way.
I have low light vision.
So basically, you see this as you would in pretty much normal light. Again, nothing in particular to see other than what I've described. So,
okay, because my innate ability.
I don't know how many races have low light vision in this game, but that's not an accomplishment in 5e anymore.
No, it's ridiculous. It's crazy.
Do you have dark vision? I don't know. Do you have a heartbeat?
That's new. Yeah, really, or not new, but it's more even more common. Right. All right, so you're wanting to head down the stairs? That's the plan?
Yeah.
Game plan for me.
Okay, I will need perception checks from everyone heading down the stairs, including Narita.
Oh, yeah, Narita is with us.
Yeah, she's going to die.
Who brought the sponge?
You don't have to. She doesn't have to be here.
I think it's offensive that you refer to her as a sponge.
Is that not what she is?
Oh, boy. No, first roll I've made in this campaign, it did not go well.
Well, that's all right. I got a 13 myself.
Yeah, 12 for me.
And that was a 10.
Yeah, that was with a 10 bonus. Narita only has a 3 bonus. So let's see how well this goes. Watch her
get a 30.
Watch her ace it. Yeah.
Nope.
Or the opposite of that.
So Sigurd and Iris are the only ones who got over a 20, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then the two of you note, as you begin to head down these steps, this metal staircase, and into the warehouse, the two of you hear what sound like distant voices. Somewhere outside the base of the staircase, there seems to be a conversation ongoing, and it sounds heated, but it's like you're hearing it through water. You can't really make out the details.
There's someone up ahead. Watch your stepping.
I have a thermal detonator.
No.
Don't use that yet. Put that thing up.
Who's a better sneaker? Sneak up there and see what's going on.
All right.
I don't know. First of all, you would have to tell everybody this was the case. Graz has an 8 in stealth, so.
I'm going. I'm gonna try to sneak closer.
Pretty sure Harani's is still better than mine.
I'm gonna try to sneak closer and listen.
Okay.
So do.
Why does zero it say successes. Zero successes?
What the hell is that?
You hit 1d20 equals 16.
Oh god.
What's your modifier?
Let me try that again.
I mean, what's your modifier? 9 plus what?
It's the 16. 16.
It's the 16.
Oh, so 25?
Yeah, that's fine by me. If that's okay with Hunter.
That's fine. Because you rolled it. You still rolled a 9. That's right. How it worked at the table. Yeah. So it's a 25.
but I had zero successes.
Zero successes. You're able to get down basically to the base of the staircase. And from this side, basically, of the wall, you can hear what sounds like... Remind me again, do you speak Huttese?
Yes.
I thought you did. You hear what sounds like an argument in Huttese, but it's two very distinctive sort of voices. One is a very traditional Celestian kind of, kind of like in the throat, very guttural. The Deveronian voice is pretty distinctive as well. It's very harsh. And he, at this point in time, sounds like he's the only one who's actually speaking. And you hear him yelling as though he's calling to somebody in the distance. Come on, Resh! Enough games! You already cost me one speeder and made us fly into this stinking hole. I'm about to forget that the bounty is higher to take you alive. Seems like it'll cost me less in the long run to just shoot you now.
Ronnie looks up at the... Dun. She's going to look at the group, point at her gun, and then point at the wall, and put the gun to her head and do this.
Don't do it.
I think why we did
you say it like you weren't
quickly
sure?
Quickly, if yeah. We want to get our information.
Yeah. Harani's pulling a straight up Three Amigos. She's just sitting there going, Cacao! Cacao! Hey, you guys!
Of course.
Look up here!
I love that comparison. That's good. That's good stuff.
She's okay, waving them all.
Well, then at this point in time, I am going to...
Need initiative
rolls. No, I'm going to move you to there.
Oh, dear.
I got to shrink my map, because it's bigger than intended.
Oh, I see it now.
That's a lot of boxes.
I appreciate the steak and shake hat.
I appreciate the Power Ranger
color coordination.
That way you know who's who. at this point, Hirani, you know that the Deveronian that was yelling is the unmarked one, the one that does not have a colorful distinction. And obviously the Celestian is not visible, but you can still hear his voice. Basically, he just kind of keeps saying something to the effect of like, now, wait just a minute, give me a second. And then he kind of just keeps repeating himself there. You all at this point would be in this staircase. So Hirani, you would have to be at the base. I'll put Graz right there with you, and everybody else can be in whatever marching order you like back there. I'm just filling in places right now. Da-da-da. Oh, crap. Sigurd, I don't have you on here because we didn't think you were going to be here. Give me just a second.
Supplies.
How much is the bounty on this? How much is the bounty on this set again?
10,000
credits.
10,000 credits.
Watch me. I'm
assuming half if he's dead, but preferably we wouldn't do that.
I'm about to use a skip battle option.
Oh, no.
Do you have that ability?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know what he's got.
Oh.
No.
Nope. Price is wrong, Bob.
Save that for an emergency.
I got 20,000 credits to say he walks away right now and we don't have to worry about this fight.
Yeah, but we need the information from this guy.
Yeah.
Well, we don't need the information from the bounty hunters. We need the information from the dude, right?
But if you blow up the entire room,
No. She's gonna offer the bounty hunters more money to walk away. I'm not gonna blow everybody up with a thermal detonator. Jesus.
You seem very confident in that battle button.
Jesus. Well, yeah, money talks. Look, money talks to these people. And by these people, I mean bounty hunters, not...
So do flames engulfing their bodies. I mean, that's what we want to do.
Look, if you want to try to offer more money for... Do it. Go do it. See what happens.
But then we also lose the element.
Basically, at this point, what I'm saying is, in your immediate vicinity, nothing will happen as far as you have not been detected yet. So it's not really a surprise round. We have not entered any level of combat initiative, whatever. It's up to you to decide how you want to proceed from here. It certainly doesn't sound like things are getting better for Risch. And you can tell Hirani peeking around the corner that he is basically being advanced upon.
Okay, here's how we do this. Graz, you come with me. You guys get ready for combat just in case things go wrong. Okay.
We'll grip his quarterstaff.
So
Graz, before you leave, is going to replace his I keep wanting bowcaster? To say crossbow. Bowcaster. We've been playing with too many crossbows in Call of Duty, and it threw me. I was like, he's going to put a Shadow Hunter on his back, and he's going to pull his Vibroblade and keep that in both hands, like full-on Gamorrean Guard style.
So basically... Graz and I are going to walk up there very casually, kind of hams up, and say, you know, $10,000 on this little scrub's head. It will get you a song and a dance down at the local dinery. But I think maybe 20,000 credits to forget he was here and walk away, it's going to buy you a lot more cocktails down at the local drinkery. She didn't say it in exactly those words, but... You can imagine it was something similar.
She said dinery and drinkery, specifically.
So the moment that your voice even rings out, the main bounty hunter turns toward you with a heavy blaster rifle and levels it in your direction. The remaining guys all actually also have vibro axes, and they are also all Deveronians. They all turn sort of like square up in your direction. And at the end of your sort of diatribe, the lead one says, one of the other ones says, we've been chasing this one too long to give him up now.
She's,
the lead one looks directly at that one and says, you don't speak for this crew. And then looks back to you. How did you find us here?
Oh, I've just got ears to the ground. You see these large, long things? They're not technically ears, but you can imagine if they were, I could hear just about everything. Point is, look, we don't have a lot of time, and we need to talk to this guy. So what's it going to take to get you to walk away? I have no interest in fighting you. I don't want to get my hands bloody today. What's it going to take that we can just all walk away from this happy and you maybe a little bit richer?
One of the other ones now, a different one of the hunters, one of the other bounty hunters, looks toward the lead one and says, Sisla, we gave up too much to be here. It's not just about that bounty, and you know it. As Sisla turns around, racks the blaster rifle, and fires a shot directly past them. You see it actually singe right past this guy's clothes. And Sisla turns back to you and says, buddy's right. It's not just about the bounty. I assume you know how much that is if you made it this far. At this point, Resh, you can see him like trying to back out of the scene. Two of the others move up behind him to basically make sure he's not going anywhere. Sisla doesn't level his rifle at you, but he just sort of leaves it slung low as though he could swing it up quickly in any direction, making sure that you keep a distance, and says, I can't let him go for any less than 75,000.
That's a lot of money. Let's haggle. Can we haggle?
You can try.
Oh.
This is going to end poorly.
I want
to... It is once again a perception check. I will say that Sisla is not hostile toward you. You can't haggle with anyone who's hostile. But he's going to be unfriendly, basically.
Yeah, worse than indifferent.
Yeah, he's definitely not indifferent. So the DC is not going to be easy. Let's put it that way.
Is it doable, at least? Can you tell me that?
I mean, anything's technically doable.
Let's just do the quick and dirty math. It took you how much to get row last time?
25.
Yeah, DC 25. So this is going to be, I would assume, at least a 30.
Well, let's see how this turns out. I'm kind of excited to see how this goes. Come on, 20.
Well, you got a 29.
You got force points.
Yeah, I want to use a force point.
Okay.
Don't forget you get to roll 2.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. I forgot about that already. Which is good, because I definitely don't want that 2. Maybe
unless
I do.
You roll a 1.
Maybe I do want the 2.
You want it more.
You want the 2.
1.
Yep, so
31.
So, okay. Effectively, what is your offer?
Instead of 75,000, let's say I'm in a generous mood. 45,000. That should be more than enough to cover what the bounty is and that wrecked speeder back there with some pocket change so you can buy yourself some new knickknacks.
You hear the grumbling of two or three of them from the behind. You know, we came all this way. That's nowhere near enough to make up our time. You dishonor our people by even entertaining these ideas. And Sisla turns and just fires a round of shots into the air. They settle down. Turns back to you and says 50. And this is no longer a negotiation.
She looks up at Graz. What do you think, 50?
Graz has been staring dead ahead the whole time with the vibroax, and he just goes, brr. It's almost like a half smirk, like, I don't really care. I'm coming out of this happy one way or another. He hasn't gotten to encounter people with axes in a while, and he's like,
boy, strong, and he's ready to fight.
Axe fight.
Harani sees the determination on his face, and she smirks, and she looks back at him, and, all right, is it possible to do one more round of persuasion, because I have an idea? But I don't know if that's possible.
What are you wanting to haggle still?
No, this time it's more of, I guess, of an intimidate, where she's going to look at him and say, look, you've got this Wookiee here next to me with this vibroax, and she pulls out her two blasters and just kind of waves them in the air and says, and I'm not too bad with these myself. Plus, we're here on a mission from the Republic, and you are surrounded by Republican troops right now. So take, let's say, 25,000, get the hell out of here, and you all won't die in this dank hellhole. Knowing that the worst case scenario is we fight and Graz gets his way.
Ro may start putting that quarterstaff back on his back.
To make this intimidate, you're just going to go ahead and roll a persuasion check again. Now, this is going to be opposed differently. This goes up against his will defense.
Okay. Boy, I need that 20 more than ever. 28's not terrible. Actually, you know what?
28 total?
Can I put a force point on that too? Can I do a force point on that?
Yeah, because we're not in combat. Normally, you can only do them once per round. But yeah, you can do that. That'll bring you down to 2.
I just want to sweeten the pot a little bit.
That's something better than a 2.
I swear to God, if I get a 1 on this next roll.
You got a 1.
Oh my god, 2-1, 2-1. Well, it's 30 at least. It's 30.
It's a 30.
That's total. Not bad.
Yeah.
Hey, Caleb.
This is why I said
for everyone to be ready.
At the point that you draw weaponry, the others very clearly like lean into hostile positions, but Sisla very much looks like he's considering the situation. He never once lets on that he's been intimidated in any way. He doesn't look like he's embarrassed or concerned or anything like that, but he holds one free hand back to them and says, "Give me the chips now. We walk. We take your speeder. Done deal." And you can hear the rest of them starting to grumble, and he turns back and says, "I will murder any one of you who steps in the way of this."
Harani leads into Graz. "Well, we do have the insurance on it. How badly do you want to fight?"
Graz just looks down again, kind of looks back at the rest of the people and says,
"This is an interesting proposition. Under five catting me. I don't know. I like our speeder."
Kruskog just wishes he could ask you if they have the transponder. The insurance be damned. That's going to cause us more problems after the fact. But.
Yeah.
Harani's going to, she's going to look at all the guys and just kind of shake her head and say, "Nah, no speeder. You guys look like you could lose a little weight."
Okay. Well, then in that case,
is it time for initiative?
The blasters are leveled. The axes come out, and that is where we're going to stop
for today. Oh, no! Oh, damn!
You BS'd for too long.
That's a cliffhanger right there. I like that.
Man. It's 9:30. It's a good way to bring it to an end. Ooh, I like it.
That's good.
We're going to do that.
That's real good.
That's what we're going to do. We're going to stop it right there, which means when we pick up next week in installment 3 of the Core of Corruption, our crew goes to war with Sisla, the Deveronian bounty hunter, and his crew.
Despite the fact that we were narrowly close to just walking in this place and coming out with a bounty.
Look, you succeeded on every one of those checks. I mean, he would have taken the deal. He just was offering alternatives.
Honestly, it was Graz's enthusiasm that made me pick the other option. You know?
Graz is on board. He wants to fight.
It's completely up to you. And you're no Jedi, so, you know, this is not a... Not that you can't take dark side points, but this is very much a case where you know that it's kind of irrelevant. One way or another, this is going to end poorly for somebody.
So. Well, plus, I did offer him. I said, "No speeder. You can take the money, just no speeder." So that was on him.
Yeah. That is your call. I will elaborate on that a little bit for next week. But for now, like I said, we're going to call it there. Guys, as always, thank you so much for watching. If you are just tuning in for the first time ever for PZ85 Plays, first of all, welcome. Secondly, you got a lot to catch up on. We are now, I need to look at the exact date, but we're almost right at a year of this show.
I think this will be episode either 28 or 29, I believe. Dawn of Defiance.
Dawn of Defiance, and then I mean of the show in general, going all the way back to last, I think it was last April, if I remember correctly, when
the database right now.
It was the Ghostbusters,
With the Ghostbusters. We started with the Ghostbusters campaign. We did the Savage Worlds Perryville Incident campaigns for a while there. Of course, Cody ran our D&D one-shot back at Christmas, which was a blast, and we're going to be looking into doing more of that as well in the future, coming back to the Savage Worlds games. But we got lots of content, not just on the network, but on Plays of particular. So we got a little something for everybody. There's plenty to go back and catch up on while you can, at least for free, because of course coming soon, that will be a Patreon tier as the network gets, don't look at me like that, Shannon, as the website gets revamped over time. It's over construction, so be prepared for that in the near future. Speaking of the network in general, Shannon, what we got this week?
First, I think Cody had a question.
No, just a note. April 7th was the published date of episode one of.
Wow, so it'll be next week.
Literally next Wednesday. Next Wednesday.
It will be next week. Yeah, we'll be. Of course, we'll be here on Tuesday. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But next week will be the 1 year anniversary of PZ85 Plays. Awesome.
Hunter, this week on tap, we've got. I don't think they're doing Pro Wrestling Unscripted tomorrow because of Ace has got a thing going. Thursday, though, we are doing After Dark. Lindsay, do you have a topic or another game?
I kind of want us to discuss our least favorite Pokemon designs.
Can all of them?
Can we make
Tangela? That's it.
What?
Cody.
What did he say?
All of them. I wasn't allowed, dude. I wasn't allowed to play Pokemon as a kid. We've talked about this. The church.
Why does that make? That's evolution. Not the question.
That's not the Pokemon's hand, fault.
It's not Pokemon's fault. It's the Pentecostal Church's fault. Why are you
throwing them under the bus? Lindsay, she tapped out. She tuned out the second you said that. She broke you off.
I just.
She turned the camera off and put some lipstick on and pulled up the rifle and crossed your name out. The moment that happened.
Well,
jeez. And then, of course, Friday, Shannon, what time is it?
It's about 9:31 at the moment. It's horse time!
That's where, Tanner, we can play some games if you want. You going to be there Friday this time?
Maybe.
The battle of the
out from your car?
I mean, time? We can play a game again if you want. I'm just not going to have time to prep it.
It's the battle of the
Titans.
I'll
make some stuff up. It's fine.
Tanner versus Hunter.
then Hunter can't make the questions. I mean...
Hopefully, and maybe we'll get Jesse in there, too.
Sure, I can. Know. Don't tell me what I can do. I'll do whatever I want. It's horse time.
Now, wait a minute. That was my attitude from the beginning of the show.
Oh, it's transitive. And then don't forget, of course, next week we're back, theoretically, a new Nerd Up on Monday. And then we're right back again here on Tuesday, which will effectively be, if not literally, the 1 year anniversary of PZ85 Plays, the next installment of the Core of Corruption. You'll find out what happens here in the depths of Coruscant. So be here next week, 7 o'clock, 7:30 usually is when we kind of get going. And then the show actually starts at 8. So, like 7, we'll do 8, 7 Central.
Ooh. Sure, wait, wouldn't it be 9-8 Central?
You shut your mouth,
shut
Cody
your mouth, Kodu.
We will see you then next week. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, as always. For now, we're going to wrap it up. For Shannon, for Cody, for Lindsay, and for Tanner, I am your Game Master Double H. Till next Tuesday and our 1 year anniversary, may the force be with you, and we will see you then. Later.